Let's talk.
Life. Don't talk to me about life.
And brace yourselves, because we come to that's the man who leaves you with a
nasty taste in your mouth.
Yes, indeed. The man who leaves you with a spring in your step, with a worrying rumble in your lower abdomen. It is indeed. We'll have one of these because we're back together again. Hello.
Hello. Nice to see you again.
I was sick. I mean, I was sicker than normal, should we say?
Yeah.
Michael Sanger.
Yes, sir.
International Man of Misery.
That's me.
How you doing?
I'm reasonably good. I've had a fabulous week of grumps. I mean, whatever could have gone wrong in this week to build up this appearance. On what's known as a radio show.
Only loosely. But we've survived. I mean, because it's, you know, summer's gone now. They've all gone. The roads are clearer.
Yeah, the toll's gone down to €5 something today instead of 12
yeah.
euros.
I mean, honestly. And then they wonder why the bleeding coast road is chocker and you've got all these Maersk containers doing 150 as they tune into Radio Free Maghreb and somebody else pulls out in a Seat Satsuma rent a car.
Satsuma.
Yeah, because when you hit it, they go, here's the thing. You know what business we should get involved with? As I drove down from Coeen this morning, Armco, you know, crash barriers.
Oh, right. Not, we're giving up the drugs business now?
Too much competition down here at the moment. Having seen Making It in Marbella, I think there's just there's a new TV series out.
No, I've never seen it.
Yeah, it's called Making It. They missed out the S and the S and the H in front of something.
Yeah. Making It.
Yeah, Making It in Marbella. Right. Anyway, how you been?
I've been good.
Yeah, that's disappointing.
Yeah, no, I'm all right. Everything's good. We lost our doggy.
Oh, I saw that. Oh, I am so sorry, man.
He was 18 years old.
Oh.
And it was just time. But, you know, bless my wife and ourselves, we try and see not the funny side, but we're trying to make something bright out of something quite, really miserable, really sad, really sad. Whereas we took him to the vets in... down by the lighthouse. What's it called? By
Farrow.
Yeah, or Farrow.
Yeah. There's a what's the name, though? Because people were saying, what's the name of aforementioned dog?
Ollie was my first dog. His name was actually What. That was on his passport. Was his name. That was on his chip. But we think it was because when he was given his chip, Spanish kids called the dogs Wow Wow.
Ah, okay.
So it might have been somebody who said, "What's this? Wow Wow." And then they put down What.
What.
Anyway, so he was fantastic. He was absolutely fabulous dog. And we had to have him. Anyway, I got the bill.
Yeah.
And for the services, everything. So for the actual treatment, I can't remember, the whole lot came to €274, including the cremation.
Right.
So I said to Patty, you know what? I think I might identify as a dog. Right, and you can take me down there.
Right.
And when you're fed up, and you think I've done as much as I can do, then you euthanise me.
Yeah.
Right, and get them to think, because I mean, can you see any problem with that?
Well, I wasn't expecting this when I got back. Blimey. When would you get the costume from? I mean, because I could go...
Don't have to have a costume. I just identify as the dog.
Because you could identify as that, can you?
Yeah. Anyway.
Can I...
Trying to make light of it. No, we had him for 16 and a half years.
Yeah.
And he was just the most fabulous dog.
Yeah. They all, you know,
So this show is dedicated to what?
I'm going to start crying in a minute. Should we move? Talking about identifying, do you think I can? If I next time I fly British Airways, do you think if I could get there and kick off and go? Look, I demand to sit in first class because I identify as Maria Carey or Joan Collins or something.
Well,
this
whole identify. I mean, do you want me to tell the story of my mate in hospital?
I think you should, because let's get the serious ones out of the way, shall we?
Right, and then we'll go back to BA because they're going to get their ass kicked today.
I got a question from a listener from one of of the many grump groupies that we have.
Right, well, two of them.
Yeah,
my wife and one other.
No, there's somebody up in Oroa Costa there. Wants to put a question to the oracle.
Right.
Of the bleeding obvious, which we obviously you should be.
Right.
So, okay, let's get your.
Okay, so my mate's in hospital.
Yeah, right? We wish him well.
He's actually in the theatre at the moment, having his operation. So I get a phone call from him last night, and he says to me, "You'll be very proud of me." He says, "I've done a Mickey Senka."
So he says, okay, they'll be around in a minute to clear it up. Yes.
So he said, you would be proud of me. I said, this is one of yours. This is like one of your, can I see the third room first? You know, if there wasn't a room, if King Charles was here, would he get a room?
Yeah.
You know, but he's not coming, so I'll have his room. It's one of those. So the sister's come in, so he's in his own room. They've given him a private room.
Right.
He's in a National Health Hospital. And he says...
This is in Spain?
No, this is in England.
Oh, okay.
So she says to him, the sister says to him, ever so sorry, we've got to move you to a ward because there's a woman coming in and there's no room in the women's ward, so we're going to give her your room and we're moving you to a general ward. So he went, well, I'm not really happy with that. So he said, well, there's nothing we can do. She said, well, all right, I'll do it. So they go out. He's got his girlfriend, his wife, girlfriend in the room.
That must have been a bit awkward.
Not both of them. And his couple of friends, and they say, that's a bit off, you know, like moving you. So he goes, yeah. So he calls the sister back in. He says, I've changed my mind. I'm not going. So the sister said, well, why? She said, I just don't want to go. I don't think it's fair. She said, well, I have to get someone in from administration and you can explain to them why you don't want to go. So this guy comes in, rather burly, big chap, and sort of says to him, like, well, why don't you want to go?
I'm admin.
Admin. This is the situation. This woman's coming in. This is the only bed available because we've got to move you to a men's ward because that's the only other bed. And he said, I can't go because I identify as a woman.
Ooh.
I promise you this is true.
Yeah.
He said, I identify as a woman and I don't feel comfortable going into the men's ward.
Is that a sort of checkmate then with management?
Well, it is a checkmate because the guy just didn't know what to say, didn't know what to do. He's not allowed to challenge it in any way, shape or form. And this, I mean, although we were laughing about it, then the other side of it is, what happens if this woman was really unwell? Like, she needed emergency treatment, right? Mm. So now the funny side of it stopped.
Yeah, sure.
Right? But this is what the National Health, this is what the English government, this is what everything in the UK is going pear-shaped.
Because
someone could turn around and actually say, I identify as a woman, you can't put me in a men's ward just to keep a private room. I mean,
yeah.
It is, I'm not going to lie, it is something I would do. And thinking about it initially and listening to it initially, I thought, that's brilliant. But now I'm thinking, is it? Or is it just, this is what's happening all the time? You know, it's being used, like my silly, like, identify as a dog story. It's getting sillier and sillier.
It's an entitlement thing, isn't it? Gosh, we're starting to turn into Alan and Sean, if we're not careful, in the Friday Constipation conversation. But, because they put the world to rights as well, and they'll be on a bit later on today. But it's that entitlement, it's the entitlement card, isn't it? It's the, I'm special.
Well, it's not a question of that. It's that you've started a thing. You've started this thing. That... You started a situation where it's he, she. We can't call you darling. We can't call you love. We've got to call you Mr. Miss. No, Mrs. No. What pronoun are you? You started it, right? You started it. Now you've got to deal with it.
I mean,
it's like your last guest you were talking to, diplomat, when he said about Mike Tyson. What is it, Mike Tyson?
Everybody's got a plan.
Everyone's got to get punched in the face.
I
use that all the time. I just absolutely love it.
Yeah.
But that's the thing. They've not done the domino effect of this, so that anybody can say anything and you can't do anything about it. Right. I mean, just going on. I saw a guy in the restaurant the other day with these kids.
Right? Where were you sitting, by the way?
I was sitting in my perfect seat.
By the toilets?
Yeah, by the toilets. Right. And I just sort of had a fleeting... The kids was ruling the roost.
Oh, no.
I want to sit here. I don't want to sit there. I want to sit next to mummy. I want to sit next to daddy. And I had this flashback to my upbringing. Yeah, there. And then the kids said, it's some lovely food. It's coming, a beautiful restaurant. Tasted it. I don't like that. Right? I don't like that. And the dad's gone, oh, what would you like, darling? What can I get for you? And I thought, I had a flashback to my dad, and I said, I don't like that. And my dad would have got hold me by the scruff of the neck and gone, you do like that.
Yeah.
Like, so,
Well, it's like the thing
come home, what's for dinner? My dad would go, dinner's for dinner.
That's exactly what I was about to say.
What's for dinner?
Because now it's like, oh, well, here's a list, yeah. Tristan. I prepared, yeah. It struck me when I was in a rather fancy beach restaurant somewhere before last, and they had a six-year-old with them. And, the six-year-old was sitting down and everybody's cooing at Spain the whole bit. But this is an upmarket restaurant. They have a what's it menu for the children, the whole bit, like mini. But this one
chicken,
had...
Chicken nuggets.
Yeah, this one had sushi. So two whatever the sushi at a head ended up at times two. And I looked at my best mate, Alex, and he looked at me and we were like, I know you're North London chaps, but that is, sort of 30 a head. So 60 euros on sushi for a six-year-old, I thought was a little bit excessive.
Oh, I went out with my pal Adrian, his son, I went out with him, who I'm actually going to London. If Jeff Britton's listening, I'm going to go and see Adrian play in London next week. He's gone back on, he's doing a performance in Gray's Inn Road next Wednesday.
The performance in the Gray's Inn Road being jazz or modern dance or what?
No, he's doing, he was playing his guitar and singing. He was in the band, he was in Three Man Army with Jeff Britton, the drummer.
Right.
So he's flying over from America and doing a gig. Anyway,
yeah.
Where was I?
You were debating about dinner.
So I've gone out with him and his son once,
yep.
In Santa Monica, and his son, who was, I don't know, about 14, 15 at the time, decided he wanted to try oysters.
Oh.
So he tried a dozen assorted oysters.
Full flip.
And didn't eat one of them. So and nobody else liked oysters on the table, so we had 12 oysters that got just shucked away.
Shucked,
yeah.
Right. We got a question from the and if you have a question for the Oracle of Can You Be Bothered, these are
please don't accept it. Please don't expect a sensible answer.
Exactly. These are the numbers.
To contact TRE, please call 952-78-4000. Email studio@tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
Well, yeah, good morning, Mark. Good morning, bro. Mark is sitting on the beach because he's getting his chakras in order or something like that. You know what he's like. And he sent a picture of a car, which is waiting for a grower, apparently. That's not your car, is it, bro? Let me know. If not, that's that's pretty darn good, isn't it, when they do that?
Presumably, what's that? Is that my car?
I don't think it should. No, that's not your car. Not with that number plate. And it's not your car. It's a mid-range Ford. Anyway. Oh,
right. Sorry.
All right, okay, yeah. He said, well, Mark said, I love these Fridays. Poor old what good innings. So there you go. Now,
thank you.
That's all right. Now, meanwhile, here we go. Question from, a question from the public. The Grumps Manifesto. Morning, Giles and Mr. Grumpy. It's Alison here from Ojeda Costa, as they say, right? Would love to hear Mr. Grumpy's opinion on people that go in supermarkets where there is a loyalty card scheme. Here in Ojeda Costa, customers in front of me at the till don't show the card and try and remember the long number. Here, customers in front of me, the till don't show the card and try to remember the long number, often forgetting it, or the cashier types it in wrong. I've even had people ring their family at home to look at the card number whilst myself and others wait. Also, sometimes the cashier has tried to help them by asking for their details to search the store's database. Myself and other customers are stood waiting like lemons for our turn. Why don't they bring back the card? Why don't they bring the card with them when only one swipe of the card is needed? Does it happen in Mr. Grumpy's world? Good weekend to all.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, and why do people stand there and not even open their purse until the thing, and then start rummaging around for a credit card and the subscription? No, you got to just turn around and say, "Come on, move along." But it's never going to work in a Spanish supermarket because, you know, you'll be standing there in the queue and all of a sudden a member of staff will come over
and close
in mid-bip, you know, and start talking to the cashier, and you'll just be standing there whilst having a whole conversation about somebody who's lost a lemon somewhere.
There's nothing like a road radish to throw them into things.
It's absolutely wrong, and you're entitled to have a scream up, but no one will take any notice. So, just
it's the one where you are. It'll be a Friday lunchtime, for example, a busy time, and you look across, and there'll be one sort of person, gender fluid, possibly tattoos, piercing, hair on the till. And you look over and there'll be five of them stacking the fruit. Now, I know that fruit is perishable and I know they're probably having a rush on pineapples, but surely you haven't heard the pineapple thing, have you?
I'm not sure I want to.
Okay. But they're standing there in full view of, you know, literally sort of it's biblical. It's leaving from the mount. It is the people exodizing from wherever.
What I'd like to know is, yes, what did she do? Is she just telling me about it, or did she say anything to them?
I don't know.
Unless you don't say anything at the time, if you don't have as soon as something goes wrong at the cashier, like someone says, "Oh, I say yes.
I do mind.
I absolutely mind. Bit off the back of the queue.
That was happened to me in Marlborough in the UK. I
absolutely mind.
I was told I was a bloody fool and should get in the 10 items or less queue.
No, I'd say I absolutely mind. Right, sort your cards out before you get in, but, you know, I do mind, so get a move on. But no one's going to take any notice. You just feel better for having for telling them that they're stupid. So we're going to move to BA now.
Yeah, let's talk about BA. What, right. Baracus?
Okay, so I'm.
Oh, it wasn't your car, by the way. It was yesterday at Sinbad's.
Right. So I've got a real problem with British Airways and Hertz and Ryanair and EasyJet and every online company at the moment where you have to try and buy something in a certain amount of time.
Before everybody starts booking flights, you can't book flights at Hertz, but you do. Anyway, it's part of the holistic.
Okay. So I want to go to London to see my pal Adrian. Book the flight, decide that he then phones me up from America and says, try and come over a bit earlier so we can spend some time together. Great. Want to change the flight from Tuesday to Monday. Managed, you can't do it on your app. You can't do it on thing. You've got to get through to a special BA department that does this. So I'm speaking, finally get through to live chat after speaking to non-live chat. And I speak to this person.
Non-live chat.
Non-live chat is a robot.
Oh, okay. It's
AI answers your questions as near as possible.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I just keep typing in, I want to speak to a human, I want to speak to a human, I want to speak to a human, and I finally get a human.
You think you're a robot because you keep repeating yourself.
Right. So can I change my flight? Yes, no problem. How much is it? €60. Okay, I'll do that. And, you know, I'll pay. So, okay, except I can't take the payment. Why can't you take the payment? It's a different department. Now I know that this guy's working from home.
Oh, it's another one of those.
Right.
Is it?
It's from not speaking English, but obviously not English and not in England. So I say, okay, well, they'll phone you back and they'll take the payment. So, okay, British Airways phones me back. How much have I got to pay you? £130.
To change the flight?
So I said to him, I just spoke to a guy on your help line just now who does the bookings, and he said it was €60. He said, well, I've just brought the flight up now, and it's to change the flight, it's £130. So I said, well, what's that? I said, don't tell me I've got involved in dynamic pricing here.
I don't want to go see Oasis. So I just want to go to London.
No, so he said, yeah, it's exactly what's happened. Because you didn't pay immediately, I said, but I couldn't pay immediately. He doesn't take the payments.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
Because I couldn't pay immediately, the price was doubled. More than doubled. Right, same seat, same everything. Everything's the same, except a day early. The time's slightly different. There's a half-hour difference in the flight difference. But that flight has cost... Instead of if I could have paid then, I could have paid €60.
I mean...
Or £60, whatever it was. But because I come out of the system and then gone back in again, the dynamic price has put that price up.
Do you think...
Very rare.
Exactly. That's why it's two of us bouncing off each other. I mean, do you think this dynamic price? I mean, I don't give a flying what's about Oasis, but do you think this dynamic pricing? I mean, what happens?
It's criminal. It's absolutely criminal.
What happens if it happens? If they start using it everywhere,
they are.
But the super, you know, you nip down to your local low cost supermarket, right? There's four pineapples left because it had been a rush on pineapples. I'll tell you in a minute. And suddenly they go from being. I don't know. What's the price for a pineapple down here? Anyway, somebody let me know. One of you will let me know. So it's gone from, shall we say, €2, and they've only got, you know, and then someone takes one, and it's suddenly gone to €4. And then the last pineapple's
going to... Yeah, but that actually does happen. That does happen. Not so much in supermarkets.
You don't see it running. It's not like you'll see a running that they're going to have... You know.
No, but it happens with petrol. Like but because something's happened in Kuwait yesterday or whatever, today the petrol prices have gone up. It doesn't affect any petrol station anywhere for months, but they'll put the price up today.
Yeah, but this is dynamic pricing, so it means the fewer they are, the higher they go. So it'd be like, you know, you'll have a row of four pineapples and it'll go in front of your eyes, you know.
The point I'm trying to make is it's everywhere where you book in and book out. The only way that, and remember, if you remember way back, I got into the dark web mysterious.
Yes.
Just to be easy, yet.
Yes.
And finished up on the dark web. Right. What was it? What was the search engine?
Adventures in the dark web.
One of the website I went to, I was like Rocky Road or something.
It was something very strange. Yeah.
And so, yeah, I was absolutely furious. And it's just, everything is just getting worse and worse and worse. So moving on from that, I decided not to stay at my daughter's for the 3 or 4 days. We decided to go and stay in a nice hotel in London.
Yeah,
The thing is, Patty can come with me.
The
sad thing is, we have, unfortunately, as I said, we've lost the dog, but also it's freed up the fact that we can both go away together
right.
Someone hasn't have to be at home. So I find a hotel. Book the hotel, and they use a third party payment. I've not gone with one of the big booking companies.
Right.
I've gone direct to the hotel because every hotel that I've been to for quite a long time now says to us, if you book yourself, you're going to get a better room.
Exactly.
Right. And we probably do a deal as well.
Yeah.
Right. So I phoned up this hotel, really nice hotel in the West End. Not cheap, but we're going to make it.
You're going with the lovely Mrs. Grumps. Yeah,
we're making a week of it and we're going to see friends and it's going to be a lovely time.
Yeah.
Agree the price on the hotel, blah, blah, blah. And then I get, and they say, before we finish the booking, we're now going to put you onto our third party booking payment thing and you'll pay for those. It comes up, we go to pay for it. I've got an HSBC card, put in all the details, enough money in the account, right? Denied. Try it again, denied.
Right.
So I then phone up. I say to Patty, I'll sort this out. Put this on your Marks and Spencer's card.
Right.
Right. So she tries to pay. Denied. Denied. So now she's on. I'm now phoning. And they're telling you, I've got to get in touch with HSBC fraud. Oh. And Patty's got to get in touch with Marks and Spencer's fraud. So we're now sitting here with this. Can't pay. Well, I do pay, but I can't pay. So I get onto HSBC fraud. And the questions, then the questions start. So I answer all the questions, and then they're not interested. They say that it sounds like a fraudulent payment. I'm saying it's not. You've asked me all these questions. I've answered all your questions. He said, well, we need you to go into your bank and verify it's you.
Right.
I said, but what is the point of having all these security questions? And what have I, what's wrong? I can't tell you what you've done wrong.
You've done something
I've done
wrong.
Done something wrong. You've been a very naughty boy. Right. And but we can't tell you it. So I said,
is this always on a Friday, by the way? This tends to happen on a Friday.
I can't remember when it was. Anyway, so we go through this thing. And then I said, I can't go into the bank at the moment. I'm in Spain. What are you doing in Spain? I said, what has it got to do with you, what I'm doing in Spain?
Yeah.
Anyway, I said, so will I be able to use my card when I get back to England? So they said, I doubt it. Your card is blocked. I said, but I want you to unblock it. I'm saying, you know, you know it's me. I've answered 100 questions. You know it's me. No, I still don't know. So I said, okay, fine. So I put the phone down, went into the HSB app and transferred all the money to another bank account.
Well, now they know you're fraudulent because you obviously hacked in and...
No, but what I'm saying is yeah. I can't be... And with the card that I transferred the money to, put that into the payment thing and paid it instantly and said thank you very much. Meanwhile, Pat is having the same conversation with Marks and Spencers, who can't give her any information why... her card was denied.
Because CCTV picked her up going into Lidl.
No, but I'm not saying... No, being serious on this, I mean, it's becoming, you know, taking the system to... Everything's too much. You know, every single transaction now is like, is this a fraudulent... You know,
yeah.
If you answer all the questions, you... Even if they get through to you and they speak to you in the fraud department, you know, they phone you back and then they ask you the same. Right, we're phoning you back in 10 minutes. Phoning you back in 10 minutes. Okay, before we talk to you, we need you to give you some security questions. But you phoned me back.
Yeah.
So I just spoke to you 10 minutes ago and answered all your questions. Right, now you're phoning me back and you want me to answer all the questions. In fact, I need to ask you some questions. Yeah. I want to know what your mother's maiden name was.
Exactly. And the name of, you know, whatever your favourite colour. And yeah. Which one of these is the wrong way up.
Yeah, and, you know, how many bicycles can you see? How many zebra crossings? No, but what I'm saying is it's becoming Big Brother. They are telling me that I may not be able to use my English debit card in England after we've gone through all the fraud questions. Can you imagine I go to pay for something in a store somewhere and I haven't got any cash on me and I haven't got any other cards on me and my card is blocked even though there's money in the account.
Welcome, but that's welcome to the world. I mean, that's you know, if you have a Spanish bank account, you will know the you know, going to get money out of a Spanish bank account, especially if you are a freelancer, is a bit like doing the slots at Las Vegas. You're never actually sure if it's going to come out or not.
No,
because
but
you might have been embargoed without anybody, you know.
The point I'm making really this morning is everything's too much. This identifying this, like, you can't do this, you can't do that, the trying to get your own money out of the bank. I know they're trying to look after your best interests, I mean, but once it goes past a certain level, they're asking you why you're in Spain. What are you doing in Spain?
Yeah.
Why are you in Spain? Why can't you come into the bank on Monday?
How dare you go down the country and go to Spain?
Do you live in Spain? Do you live in England? Why do you want to use your card? Why do you want... I said, look, just, you know...
Do you not say you identify as an offshore financial centre?
No, I'm getting fed up with
all right, come on, let's leave him with a laugh. Music.
What about it?
Well,
yeah. I'll send you a bit.
It's the thing. It's the thing that you sent me, Grant.
Okay, no, well, I forgot.
You know, I know that they think that you and I just walk into a room, but
they don't realise the work that goes into it.
They don't realise.
Right, okay.
The days of planning.
So the thing is,
it was like D-Day.
Whilst I was holding on to get to speak to BA, when I was like 97th in line, right, we'll be with you soon, and you're... Custom.
Well,
I mean, do they still play Greensleeves? Well, yeah, they do. Basically, they do play Greensleeves. And Vodafone has like the worst music, tinny music. And I think with how we've come on in the world, right? We go press one for this, press one, two for that, doing all these buttons, everything. Isn't it about time when we're going to put you on hold? You know, press one for blues.
Yeah.
One, press two for ABBA. Right? Press three for the Beatles.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
Press XXX
for Cardi B
for death metal.
Yeah, I could do that. Yeah,
right. And that, just give you might as well give you have a selection. Why not? Or just put in at least some decent music, you know, and it would work.
I think there's got to be a system.
Just, you know, you're fuming, yeah, right, because you've held on for an hour. Put some nice. I mean, Greensleeves was actually quite good at the time because it was very soothing.
Exactly.
Right. But now I do honestly feel that we should have an option on there to choose your own music whilst you're listening.
Eminem.
Yeah.
You know, one of the really heavy rap things.
Yeah, no, or just something nice and gentle.
Do you find yourself shouting when they say, an operator will be with you soon, your call matters to us, and you're going, no, it bloody well doesn't.
No, it doesn't. If it did, you'd have a human there to answer it.
Exactly.
I mean, the whole world is getting on my Bristols now.
Is it really?
Yeah.
What you need is a camper van.
No, I don't. Well, I do. If I did have a camper van, I wouldn't have the one that's outside my view. I have the most beautiful view from my...
Which is your lovely wife in the morning.
Yeah.
There you go.
Tishboom. My other beautiful view...
is
a beach...
Silky smooth.
...is a beach view with the sea behind it.
Which is handy, because
otherwise, that's how I left it this morning,
yeah,
anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
But there's a geezer has decided to park his camper van there, and he's been there on the Paseo for 3 months, right?
Right.
Hasn't moved it. And I don't know whether it's legal. John will tell me. Well, he's John from Meas. He'll know all this.
Yeah, but we don't have enough time because, you'll sweep
it. So what's happened is he's parked there. Now, I don't know what facilities they've got in there, but I'm sure some of it is going into the road. Right, he hasn't moved it, and I just want to know, is it legal?
Yeah.
And can I get him moved on? Because he's really getting on my nerves now. I mean, why go and park in a camper park where they've got facilities and water pipes and stacks?
You free spirits. All these free spirits.
And bathrooms and showers. I mean, where is he? You can't shower on the beach because there's no water.
Maybe he runs down in the dead of night and throws, you know...
Well, I think he might do a lot of things in the dead of night.
Right.
Right, but move your camper van. Don't... It's for seeing the world. Go and see the world.
Run along. There's such a lot in the world of Moon River. There's such a lot of world to see.
Yeah, I mean, you've got a whole world to see. Move off the Paseo, John, because you're getting on my nerves. And the other idiots, because the Paseo's been dug up again.
Yeah, I saw. I was down there. I was in Bolas Spaliches on Wednesday night.
The Spanish drivers, or the people that drive in Spain, think that every no entry and no through road sign does not work for them. Because I was sitting outside having a coffee, right, and the cars just keep going past, and I say, "Hey, well, where are they going? The road's closed." 2 minutes later, they come
reversing,
back.
Yeah.
Like they reverse. A coach. Coaches are going down there. I mean, big coaches. The Paseo's not that wide. And now they're having to reverse back. At least the cars might find a little space to turn round.
And on that one, because I've got to play an ad break, and I'm going to write. If people want to find out more on the Grumpenverse, what are you still writing for the...
I'm having a few weeks off.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Give them a break, are you?
Yeah. I'm running out of things to be grumpy about.
Oh, don't worry. It'll soon be... We can talk about Halloween next time you're in, because that's your favourite part of year when the little ones come knocking on the door.
No.
Exactly. Mr. Grumpy, as always, thank you so much. And yeah, we shall throw the phones open next time round. Michael Senker, as always, great to speak to you. Right then, almost out of time. Congratulations to Kate, who is the winner of the competition this week, for two tickets to go and to the Kineopolis La Cañada. Going to the movies soon? Do you like the movies?
No.
Okay, thanks very much.
Talk Radio Europe.
Your voice in Spain. Let's talk. Let's talk. John Brown.
If you heard that zipper, it's his man bag. Why don't you like movies then?
I love movies. I hate going to the cinema because the morons all sit there on their phones.
Right.
Right. Well, if you've gone to the movies, watch the movie and don't sit there talking to your mate or showing them something you've just seen on TikTok.
Have a great weekend. That's the Grumps for the weekend. Stephen Ritson up next. I'll see you on 4 o'clock.